Takes, I want to get there, don't you? Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Isn't it good to assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord? Take a second, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. Look for me, because I'm going to be there. Play some more of it, guys. I want you to sing it one more time with all you got. Well, look for me. I'm gonna be there too. Lord, I realize when you rise, there'll be so much to do. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Terry Stockton sends this in. Please pray for Wade Cash and Briley Stockton. This is two very small children that have flu-like symptoms. And they're asking that we would remember them in prayer. If you would remember our little grandson, little Tucker, Andy and Jennifer's little baby is sick tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. And the Lord has has helped Drew get better, helped Andy get better, and now the baby's got sick. So if you would remember that prayer request. Brother Daniel Barclay, Sister Shirley Campbell, is not feeling well, wants to trust the Lord for her healing. Ask us to help her as she prays that the Lord would touch her. Very urgent unspoken prayer request for Ivan and Angela England. And we just commit that need unto the Lord. God knows what it's all about. Sister Linda Kennedy says, pray for her numbness in both arms and hands. Tammy Sutherland, nerve condition. Amber Sutherland, complications after surgery. They're wanting us to pray for those needs tonight. Cheyenne Sumner sends this in to please pray for my 16-year-old niece, Haley Mize. She has to have surgery tomorrow. They're asking that we would pray for that need tonight. Sister Irene Pierce sends this in to please pray for my brother Everett. He's in the hospital in the Johnson City Medical Center. He just recently gave his life to the Lord and asked to be baptized. Please pray for his family also. So we just want to praise the Lord for what he's doing. Ask God to touch this man, that God would help him. Bruce Hackett sends this in. I would like for the Happy Valley Church to remember Sister Tina Hackett in prayer, as she is in the midst of an ongoing gallstone attack. So they're asking that we would remember that request tonight as we pray. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends us in prayer desired for a young lady named Melody. She believes in God. She's been told that she has ovarian cancer. It's been such a shock to her and her family, and she desires the God to bring her through this operation. So they're asking that we would remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Gary and Sister Lona says we have to go to a mortgage company tomorrow about buying the home that we're now living in. Please remember us in prayer. Pray God's will be done. Also remember our daughter Paula in prayer. She'll be taking her entrance exam on Friday for nursing school. So let's pray for those needs tonight. The Lord is mindful of that situation. I'm going to pray for Sarah Moore, who is in surgery at this time to have her gallbladder and appendix both removed. So we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray. Brother Frank Williams says, an individual that I know, Brassy Elliott, has two forms of cancer, and in the fourth stage, she requests prayer from our church. So we just want to commit that need unto the Lord for that person, that God would be mindful of them. Brother Samuel Shuffler, many prayer requests for him tonight. We'll just commit all those things unto the Lord. God is certainly mindful of his situation tonight also. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Could we stand tonight as we get ready to pray? Brother Harry, if you would sing a verse of that song, Look for Me, and we'll do the chorus again, then we'll pray.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenue.
Hallelujah.
As you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember there's just one request I make of you.
Just sing it now, church.
Just look for me.
Tonight, we certainly want to, I know Brother Sammy Kinzer's, the service for him is taking place right now. over in, Virginia. We certainly want to pray for that family, his wife, children, grandchildren, all his family, and two church families that are suffering tonight. Brother Sammy was helping in a work down in Smithville, Tennessee, along with his church there in Virginia, as far as I know, was trying to do both of them. And so we certainly, if that was my pastor, I'd just be, I guess, just like the rest of you, devastated. And I'm sure they are too. So we want to pray for the family, the immediate family, church families, that God would just wrap his arms around them, hold them real tight, and help them get through this, because this is going to be a tough situation. But we're serving a God that can make you feel good about anything that happens to you, because we know where Brother Sammy's at. We know he's in a better place, but the hurt and the grief that's going on here, we just pray for God to help those folks. Brother Aaron, would you come tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer? If you'd come, yes, you, brother, if you'd come and lead us to the Lord. And let's just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. We know that we're serving a God that cares about our situation, don't we? You believe he cares about you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's pray tonight, if you would. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you. God bless you.
Well, we're all happy to be here. And let's just invite our Lord with us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all that you give us. Beautiful days and everything. Lord, with the death, there's life still going on and taking care of things. And we know you're blessing people and healing them and taking care of their needs. Please help the ones up there. Comfort them. Comfort the families. Remove their sorrow and give them joy and dancing. Give it in their hearts, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. Please help all these needs. You know each one, and you know what each one needs in their heart, Lord, you know. Please bless them. Bless the service. Take care of all of us, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. God bless you as you give in the offering tonight. We want to make two or three announcements before we sing our song tonight. Brother Michael says that all the items for the Operation Christmas, Operation Christmas Child, all items for that event must be turned in by this Saturday. All items must fit in a shoebox. Information is in the lobby on items that's needed. A table is set up in the fellowship hall to receive your items. So remember that. Children, if you want to be part of that, anybody can be part of it. It's centered around children helping, giving them something to do at this time of the year. But anybody can make a contribution and be part of that. So remember that it has to be turned in by this coming Saturday. Also, an announcement was made just the other night, I guess it was, about our shelving out in the lobby. And that has not been addressed by a lot of us. So you've got from tonight and Saturday night and Sunday morning, if you have items in the lobby on the shelves, coats that's been hanging there for till you've outgrown them, you need to get that stuff for this weekend. They're going to do a complete cleaning up out there, and all those items will be removed after Sunday. So if they belong to you, please take care of that. Will you do that? Some of you going to see if it's going to be gone. I know. You're going to see if they throw it away. They're serious. They're going to throw it away or do something with it. I don't know what they'll do with it, but please take care of that. Will you do that? Now, if you've got items out there, please get it. Now, let's sing a song. Let's sing a little bit more of that song and do the second verse, if you will, and we'll try to help you. Okay? Go ahead and do that.
As you go down your list of burdens,
oh, yes.
You want to see love.
heal. You've told your story to the last one who wants to hear you tell just how you made it through.
Since we sung that, I can imagine the reception and the reunion that Brother Sammy Kinzer has had since he's been on the other side, meeting up with his dad and his mother, and untelling who else, Brother Branham, and untelling who else he's got to maybe get a glimpse of. He ran his last mile home. He fell out of a deer stand, I heard, with a heart attack. But I'll guarantee you, he ain't sitting still now. I don't know what he's doing, but he's having a time of his life. Are you glad you're part of what he's going to get to? You're going to get to go through the same thing one of these days. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this day alone.
Oh, yes.
I just saw the light. Started out walking, running the last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but running
I want
the last
you to sing
mile
in that church.
Home. So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah, Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angel, take me to the throne, little David. I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile.
So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angel, take me to the throne.
Little David, play the prettiest music.
Pilgrim.
faces. I don't feel at home here anymore. Well, I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. They're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Join the long back, let me through. Angel, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music.
But I'm still running, running my last mile.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and give the Lord a big hand. Oh, give Him a real big hand. Have a praise. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Brother and Sister Lunsford has a song for us tonight. You can be seated while they get ready to come and sing, Brother. Sister Lunsford, we appreciate them very, very much, and we like to hear them sing. They're going to give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service.
It's a long ways up here. I'm so glad that we have a hope beyond this life. Amen. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing that will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting! On that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory! Blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join that song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Savior in the sky.
Stand or sit or what?
You can stand.
As Brother Donnie comes, help me sing this chorus.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Presence of God. Let's turn to Psalms 112, verse 1, if you would. Psalms 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. We're talking about a godly man tonight. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. A godly man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we could close right now in prayer and say it's been good to be in your house. To sing, to offer prayer, to pray over requests, to hear answered prayers, testimonies, things that you've done. And at the reading of your word, the description that we have just heard, truly I believe it would be the desire of every true man of God in this building tonight to be like what we have just read. May you help us, Father, that we can be the word written in human temples, that we would be the houses of God's presence. Take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to us, I pray. Make our hearts like the fallow ground, which is broken up, which the seed can be planted in, Lord, to bring forth Christ Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read again, if you would, tonight in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We want to look back again, if the Lord would help us tonight, on the attribute of a godly man being a fruitful man. And keep in mind, this is not only for men alone now. This is for sisters as well. It's not only for older folks in their 40s and their 50s or 60s or 70s, but it's for teenagers. It's for any believer that wants this to be in their life and has the birth that will be compatible for this type of fruit to live out of their life. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is a great contrast compared to what Paul is fixing to go in the direction of the fruit of the Spirit. The works, plural, of the flesh are many, but the fruit of the Spirit is singular. The unity of the fruit of the Spirit proves its origination coming from deity, from a life spring within the individual, which has been germatized by eternal life. Totally impossible for us to produce these divine things on our own. Now, there are impersonations of this to which people will be able to look at it and say, oh, that person has so much love, that person is so kind. And there's human things that can look very similar, but they'll always run out. They'll run to a certain end. Human love can go so far and then it stops. Divine love never ends. Human kindness can go so far, then it runs out. Human goodness, human mercifulness, and many of these things, but they run out. But these which come from the fruit of the Spirit go beyond human capacity because they're not humanly produced. Now, notice this, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at the word again, fruit, which is karpos. That which originates or comes from something, an effect, result, work, act, deed of Christian character. So now the fruit of the Spirit is not you and I teaching ourselves, disciplining ourselves. It's not sitting under a psychological pastor that teaches us how to. Now you realize church, for many people, that's all it's become. It's self-help. That's what it is. You know, self-help is a big thing in this age because people are so stuck on self. So self-help is everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's all kinds of books about self-help. And one of the reasons is because people are so reliant on self. They love self. They have confidence in self. Self will never let them down. They think self is the greatest person in the world. And that's one of the biggest lies you'll ever believe. Yourself is the biggest enemy you'll ever have. And it's all nothing but the devil to come right to the idolatry of self-worship, which is what will worship originates from the worship of the self-will. But now, the fruit of the Spirit, which can only be produced by the Spirit himself, will lead you in an entire different manner. So here, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now remember, the works of the flesh are spoken of as many, but the singularity of the fruit of the Spirit, you might be an adulterer, but it doesn't necessarily mean you'll have emulation. You might have strife, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be an idolater. So once you do one work of the flesh, it don't mean you're going to do all of them. But if you have the fruit of the Spirit, the potential of every one of these attributes is in the Spirit when you get it. So it's not like, well, I major on love, but I ain't very good. Totally impossible. Well, I major on good, but I ain't got love. Totally impossible. Totally impossible. I've got a lot of faith, but I ain't got no goodness. Totally impossible. If you've got the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular in its unison of how these attributes manifest. Now, there might be some that'll be more easy for you to get into the channel to display. But the attributes of God are there in a uniform birth, and it's there to express out of us if we can just simply learn how to surrender. Just let go and let God, basically. So the fruit of the Spirit is not the individual. It's not even the church itself producing the fruit of the Spirit, but it is what it says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's important for us to observe that the fruit of the Spirit is not impersonated because Satan thinks there's no value. Apparently, he thinks this is a very important thing. Anything that he's going to impersonate, he considers it very valuable and very important. Now, watch this. As Paul describes this, and he says the fruit of the Spirit, first one he says is love. Now, we grouped this last week. We'll look at it again just briefly on the ones that we touched. Love is agape, which is divine love, not love found in human nature. It excels all love, such self-sacrificing love that sent Christ to die for sinners. Now, this is not the kind of love when people love one another. They love their family and they love human beings. It's not that kind of love. It's the kind of love that would make you love the man which would absolutely kill you after church if he had a chance. Now, human love will run to its end. And we know that there's love, you know, that's been extended down through time where people would be kind and they'd be virtuous. I'm reminded of a preacher during the time of George Washington. And this man that this preacher knew was thrown in jail because of something that he had done. And this preacher walked like 70 something miles to where George Washington was. And whenever he comes to where he was, he comes up to the president. He knows George Washington. He comes up to him and said, "I'm here to plead for the life of this certain man." So he said, "What's his name?" So he told him the name. He said, "Oh no." He said, I cannot pardon your friend. He said, "Mr. President, you don't understand. This is not my friend. This man hates me. This man has tried to kill me. This man has done everything he could to destroy me." And he said, "You would walk all this distance to save your enemy?" He said, "I would." George Washington pardoned him. Such love so moved his heart. Now, people would do something like that for a friend, but for an enemy? You'd say, "Let him rot. It's the wrath of God on him. Bless God. God's getting even with him. God's getting judgment." Oh, we need to understand some things, friends. But now the real love of God will love those that hate you. The real love of God moves beyond the human limitation. So Paul says, love and then joy, which is chara, is the result of holiness. It is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, which was promised to those who abide in Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, "My joy I'm going to give to you." Now remember, this is not the human joy that will fluctuate based upon conditions. Can humans have joy without being a Christian? Absolutely. While the sinner can be happy, the sinner can have an element of joy, but not this joy. This is a fruit of the Spirit which can only be produced by the Spirit. Now, if you got $1 million tomorrow, my, you'd probably be joyful and happy and rejoicing. Under the IRS, of course, got their part. And then taxes and the state and the federal and whoever more. And then time you got done with your $57, you'd still have $57 that you didn't have the day before. But you still have a little bit of joy about it. This is not the kind of joy we're talking about. That the human joy, it would fluctuate according to time, according to how you feel, according to how things are going. This type of joy is not affected whatsoever by human conditions. It's not affected by anything around you in time because it don't come from time. It comes from eternity. So love, joy, peace of God through salvation. And the peace of God from salvation, the gift of God. An inner repose and a quietness. Now again, humans, many humans can have peace. Transcendental meditation. People that'll go to a monastery. People that'll do all kinds of things. They'll go to the parks and they set it and they go up and take a walk. And what are they searching for? Peace. Can they find it? Sure can. Mean they got the Holy Ghost? Absolutely not. They're just sitting down under a big Fraser fir. They're sitting there listening to the birds sing. And they get a little bit of peace in this troublesome world. But when they go back to where they live, where they work, you know what? Their peace is gone. But this kind of peace is with you when there's hell all around you. This is the kind of peace that when you should be absolutely a basket case, but you're not. Praise the Lord. You should be an absolute basket case. You should be all the pieces. But there's something on the inside of you that is greater than your circumstances. Now, Paul in verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, watch the second group reaches out to others. Of course, it's fortified by love and joy and peace. Long-suffering, patient endurance to bear long with failures. Now, remember, this is not just for the men. This is for the sisters as well and for the young people. Bear long with frailties, offenses, injuries, and provocations of others. How many needs more long-suffering? Y'all have a hard time bearing when people just love you to this. Oh, you're the sweetest thing that ever was. I love you. Do most of us, that make us sick? How many of y'all get tired of hearing praises? People tell you how good you are and how wonderful you are, how handsome you are if you're a sister, how pretty you are. Yeah, you get tired of saying, you're the most, I tell you what, you're just, we just float. We just float. But you know what? For those five that make you float, all it takes is one. One. And they know how to push your down buttons or your angry buttons or your aggravation. How can every time they get around, how do they know exactly how quick to push that combination of buttons? Bam, bam, bam. And I'm in the office, mood ever was. You need them people. Come on now. You need them people. Oh, I'll tell you what, friends. All of us, why? It shows us in our lives the shortcomings. If we stayed only around those who compliment us, only around those who are good and all that sort of thing, we'd never see our shortcomings. God knows how to do it. Now watch. Gentleness. A disposition to be gentle, soft-spoken, kind, even-tempered, refined in character and conduct. Gentleness is sometimes spoken of as kindness. It is conduct that is thoughtful and considerate of others. Now remember, we're talking about fruit of the Spirit. So if this is fruit of the Spirit, it means the Holy Ghost is all of these things that we're reading about. Right? Now watch this. So this is gentleness. Now notice then we go from there to goodness. The state of being good, kind, virtuous, benevolent, generous, and godlike in life and conduct. A disposition inclining us to communicate what we have and are to others. And to do all the possible good we can in our respective places and stations. My, some of us are stingy with goodness. Some of y'all just ain't stingy with your money. You're stingy with kind words. Do you realize we're living in an age when folks are stingy with thank yous? You realize one of the attributes of the last days is that people will not be thankful? That you'll do things for them and they will not take time to send you a text, send you a phone call, get you a card and just say, thank you. I appreciate it. Why? Because most people think you owe it to them. Why? It's back to self again. You owe it to me to be good to me. You owe it to me to do this for me. You owe it to me to do that. And that's the same way they look at God. They think God owes them nothing. If God give you what you were due, it would be a hot spot in hell. He owes you absolutely nothing. It's grace that you're saved. It's grace that you believe this message. It's grace that does all these things for us. He owes us nothing. I'm glad he don't give me what I deserve. I'm glad he gave me what he wants. Amen. Now, it's possible for the old nature to be able to counterfeit some of these things that are called fruit of the Spirit. Now we'll get into that and look at a little bit where many people come from in the message. But you realize that the Spirit itself that produces this divine nature, whenever the Spirit produces it, it actually shows the spirituality of the person that this fruit is coming from. Now what's amazing is that it will produce it from such an inner conscience level that they won't even realize how much it's coming out of them. And they will struggle with themselves thinking that they're not spiritual. Now this is the difference. If the works of the flesh produce these things, then it will produce an element of human pride and we would be able to see how good we are. We would be able to take note of how righteous we are and how much we help folks and how much we do this. But if it's spirit given and spirit driven, then the people who actually live this life, they're going to be so overwhelmed when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged of course, but
to receive rewards, they will be so overwhelmed by the excess of what come out of their life. Why? Because it was not works of the flesh. Had it been a work of the flesh that all these things that have been produced, they would have took note. They would have remembered. They would have done this or that. But when it comes by an inward drive of a new life, it's something that is so subconscious that they'll look around themselves and say, what have I ever done for the kingdom of God? What have I ever done? And other people look at them and say, what have you ever done? Are you kidding me? You love, you're kind, you do this, that, the other, and you're saying, really? Am I? Wow, I didn't know that. Don't you understand where that's coming from? It's the fruit of an inward life. Had your flesh produced it, you would have known it and been proud of it. But it bypasses our flesh many times because the flesh is not the source. So it comes from within, and the spirituality of the person, I don't think there's probably ever been one son or daughter of God on the earth that ever really saw their full value, their full effect, and their full aspect of what God ever intended for them to be. It's like we live this life and we go through and complete exactly what He wants us to be. And He allows us to see a percentage of what, you know, what we can do and what we have done. And it's like He holds back much of what will be the reward. To me, that'll be part of the reward when we get that day, looking back and thinking, you are kidding me. This was the effect my life had on the earth. And I thought, oh, if I could only please God, and if I could do this and that and the other. Can you imagine Brother Branham standing there at that day? There's no way, according to what he said, just by the things that he would drop here and there and there, that he realized how many millions and millions of people. You think of how many folks have been affected by this one man coming in the last days with a message. You think he knew all of that? There ain't no way he knew all of that. No more than you or I or anybody else. And the fruit of the Spirit is not produced by the flesh so the flesh can rejoice. It is produced by the life of the Spirit. The Spirit produces it. It goes on and does it. And you live your everyday life and then you wonder, what have I ever done for God? I wish I was a good Christian. I wish I was more submissive. I wish I had the fruit in my life. Well, y'all listening to me now, ain't you? Some of y'all ain't listening 2 or 3 weeks. You sure listening now? Now what? So the Christian is not conscious. A real Christian is not conscious of their true spirituality. Or the effect of that spirituality. Why? Because it's separate from the works of the flesh.
Well, praise the Lord.
Now the work of the Spirit actually produces the very inward nature and brings out of that seed life, which is birthed in us by the breath of God, and makes this produce, and because it will use the aspects of the flesh, or the flesh to do this, and the flesh to do that, and the flesh to simply be submissive, but the flesh may not always want to do it. So the flesh does not take a record of this as being a hallmark of accomplishment. So the flesh don't say, man, I've done this and boy, I've done that. Because much of the fruit of the Spirit will be contrary to what the flesh wants to do. And you know how our flesh is. If it don't like doing it, well, it ain't much of a hallmark for it. So it just wants to get it done and get it done. You know, but the spiritual man on the inside, he is being accomplished into what God wanted it to be.
Amen.
He don't go around with his chest all stuck out. I'm this, I'm that, I've done this, I've done that, I've done something else. When you hear that from an individual, you know it's not the fruit of the Spirit because the flesh is taking too much note of what's being done. Now listen to me, friend. This is one reason why we have failed God so many times in trying to produce these things right here. It's because we're trying to produce them in the flesh. And we're trying to make machinery, as I said to you last Wednesday night, a machine works, but a machine can't love. A machine can make thousands and thousands of pieces and parts, put an automobile together, make a, you know, spray a car, a robot weld and this and other, but it cannot feel, it cannot touch, it cannot love, it cannot speak, right? And we try to produce more love. We try, but how do we try to do it? Through this avenue right here. And then we, well, I just can't do it, I just can't do it. That's not the key. The key is let go and let God. From an inward nature, and just remember, you may not even always see it. You may not even recognize the effect, more than likely you will not, the effect of what will happen because it is another person living inside of you. So the work of the Spirit is to make us like Christ and to bring glory to God, not glory to the flesh.
Thank you, Jesus. Who was that for? You? Okay. All right. I just wonder who's for. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, what's the final three graces? Faith. The living, divinely implanted, acquired, and created principle of inward and wholehearted confidence. Whoa, what a mouthful. Created, wholehearted. Something, oh, I've got great faith. That ain't the faith I'm talking about. The faith I'm talking about has nothing to do with your flesh. It is something that is created in you by a divine act of God. As a matter of fact, Brother Ben tells us, what is a believer? A believer is the faith of God in you. We call people believers around this message, but we've come to find out there's believers, all right, unbelievers and make-believers. They wasn't real believers, but a real believer is the faith of God in you. That's how you're able to believe. But you notice people then that think they've got such great faith, they'll always tie their great faith, so-called, to this. I ain't took an aspirin in 30 years. Glory to God. You realize it's been 40 years since I've been to a doctor? So? Oh, it's my faith. Watch it now. They're tying their faith to this. Well. Mama. Faith. Meekness. The right use of power and authority. Power under control. I like this part here too. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Moses was very meek, yet no one could accuse either of them of being weak. The meek Christian does not throw his weight around or assert himself, but at the same time, he will not let the devil throw him around either. It's not being meek and humble to be beat around and let the devil throw you around. We stand our ground. But we know how to use the delegated authority that God has given. Now remember, this is not something that we learn how, I'm going to learn how. You've been around people, you know, and they just tried to act so meek. But you know, you just knew there's something fake about it. There was something about it that just wasn't right. Why? Because the machinery of their flesh is trying to put on this something that's not real and genuine. It's not a work of the flesh to be meek. This meekness can only come by the Holy Ghost. My. Now let's look at the last one. Temperance. Self-control. A moderation in the indulgence of the appetites and passions. The last fruit looks to oneself, temperance or self-control. It implies not only abstinence from injurious drinks and food, but control of the bleep and bleep and bleepity bleepity bleep. Temper, tongue, desires, passion for money or power. Praise the Lord. Now remember, these are not our fruits. It's fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Now, as it is with any type of natural food, cultivation has such an important thing, part to play in any reproductive plant or vine or tree in order for the fruit to be able to grow. Now, in the tree or the vine itself may be unlimited amount of bushels of apples or pomegranates or apricots or whatever more there is, but there must be cultivation, there must be water, there must be atmosphere, there must be the right conditions in order for that fruit to be able to be produced. Now, the farmer does not go out there and pour out apples in around the apple tree, and then the apple tree reaches down and gets them up and sticks them up on its branches, and then the farmer comes back and repicks them apples off. So where does it come from? The farmer will go out, he'll prune the tree, he'll watch for diseases, he'll watch for cold, he'll watch for all these things, but every apple that'll ever be produced out of that tree was actually in it when it was a little bitty old thing. Every bit of love you'll ever have was in your little button-sized seed when you was born again. Every bit of forgiveness and temperance and the peace of God and all these things was in that little thing in you that Brother Ben said was the size of a button when you received it. It's all in you right there. What do you need? Oh, you need a good Farmer John or Farmer Don.
Sometimes Farmer Don has to dig around you some. Farmer Don has to prune you back. Farmer Don has to watch for diseases and all kinds of things. He may come out there. He said, that's making me sick. It's got to help you. I hate it when he does that. I know it, but I'm watching out for your old hide. I'm trying to get you out of this world. So I'm going to spray you. I'm going to dig around you. I'm going to cut off branches. I'm going to trim excess flesh. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to produce a church that will bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Fruit cannot grow in every climate. Right? Neither can Holy Ghost fruit. Holy Ghost fruit can't grow in every Christian. Now, you can be a Christian and not be godly. Holy Ghost fruit cannot grow in every church. I got too much envy, too much strife, too much jealousy. That's not an atmosphere and environment conducive for the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Stuff like that just grieves him right away. I wonder how many churches are our friends around the world in the message. When they all get together, they're jealous over this singer. They're jealous over that. Who's making the most money? Who gets to do this? I never got. Can you imagine the Holy Ghost trying to grow fruit in that kind of environment? If we want to have fruit on this hill, I'll tell you what kind of environment we got to have. We got to have a lot of sunshine. We got to have a lot of water. We got to have a lot of digging. We got to have a lot of things around us that it might really hurt us. But remember, a man with a trained eye, he'll walk out there. He'll look at that orchard and see that branch needs to come out. That tree's lived out its life. We need to get rid of it. It takes a man with experience that knows what he's doing. I know it may seem peculiar to you, but you realize you need cold times as a Christian. Any of y'all eat many peaches this year? Any of you get many peaches? It wasn't very good. You know why? Because they said the winter last winter wasn't cold enough. So it made the peaches little and they didn't taste good. Most of us want San Diego weather all the time. We want to land on the beach. Oh, you big bulb of whale, just waddle around. That's all you want to be a Christian. You want a seaside walk with God. You better get you some clothes on. Winter time's coming. Woo! Oh, it'd be nice if it was all sunny days, but no scripture in the Bible I know of promises us there ain't going to be hard times. There's going to be hard times and difficult times. There's going to be winter times. There's going to be up time. There's going to be down time. There's going to be crying time. There's going to be sad time. There's going to be joyous time, but it all produced fruit time, right on time. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's, possessive, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You mean to tell me that there were people which were actually Christ's possessive, not plural, possessive, they were Christ's. But they had to crucify the flesh and the flesh still had lusts left in it? Boy, some of the message preachers preach it, if they had less than them, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They need to reread their Bible. The part that got the Holy Ghost ain't got no lust. It's the part of me that didn't get the Holy Ghost that I have to watch. Come on now, you might as well say amen. When you gonna get off that? I ain't. Cause as long as you're here, you need to hear it. They that are Christ have crucified. You mean the Holy Ghost didn't do it? No, they did it. They did it. Christ Jesus will not crucify your flesh. You got to do it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. My. Notice this in Ephesians 5:8. For ye, I love this, ye were sometimes darkness. You was not in it. You were it. You were not in darkness. You were darkness. Oh, glory. But now, you're not in the light, but you are light. Hallelujah. You were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You mean to tell me a Holy Ghost filled child of God is light in the Lord. walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now remember, fruit is produced to be eaten. Unless you go to Hobby Lobby and you buy the kind there that's in baskets, it's for decoration only. Man, they can make some of that stuff look so real, you just feel like you want to reach out and just... That's the way some Christians are. My, you see, oh boy, oh, you know, folks have got a church life and then they got a regular life. So when you meet them at church and they're so bubbly and they're so nice, I feel like you want, they're just one of them fruit basket Christians. And they're made in China. You reach down and get one of them nanners. Try to pull that nanner back. Take a bite off that nanner. Reach down and get one of them there apples or them there oranges or tangerines or tangelos. It won't take you long to realize, oh my goodness, what in the world is going on here? What is it? Impersonation. Now, you know, that's the way that many folks are when it comes to Christianity, that they're able to put on their church look. They put on their church look as they put on their church clothes. So they put on this demeanor about them, this righteous, meek, humble, or whatever they are. You know, they put that on, and then whenever they take their church clothes off, they hang that also up in the closet, and the next time they come to church, they slip that on too. I don't have that kind of garments. I'm a Christian 24/7. 365 days a year, and then on leap year, I get one more day to be an extra Christian. I don't want to put it on. I want it put in. Amen. I don't want it to be something that's made in China, so to speak. I want it to be something that's made in heaven. Mama. Now, fruit is produced to be eaten, but not by the producer. You ever see an apple tree eat its own apple? What about a peach tree? I wonder if we could ask any of the apple trees, McIntosh, Gala, whatever more they are, do you have any idea how many apples that you have produced in your life? Never really thought about it. This is just what I do. You mean you've not kept a record? Well, no, I don't do that sort of thing. I just drink and push and drink and push. And Farmer Don does the rest of it down there between him and the sun. And I just drink and push and put out. So you don't have a record of all the works that you've done? No, I mean, maybe the farmer has a book of remembrance up there where he's kept a record of. But myself, I don't think that much about how many bushels and how many apples. I just do it. That's what I'm, oh, children, that's what I'm called to do. Amen. As Christians, we're called to love. We're called to be like Christ. You understand, this world we live in is starving to death for love. Joy. Wonder where they'll ever see any real from. It can't be from people that aren't real Christians. It can't be from the majority of Christendom. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost on their soul. You might be the only real fruit tree that some folks ever get to see. And you come around totally unconscious because your flesh is not connected to it. And there's something that permeates from your being. You're not even conscious yourself that you're doing it. But them, they're able to say, what is it about that guy? What is it that's different about her? What is it that's different? And you're saying, what? My clothes? My dress? No. It's not that. It's something else they're picking up. You're walking around. You're loaded down. Love and goodness and mercy and faith. Here they are starving to death for love and for a little bit of kindness and for a kind word. Here you are. You're just bumping around everywhere. You're just loaded down. My Lord, help me, Jesus. You're loading me down. Dear God, help me. Children, don't laugh at me. This is the kind of child of God I want to be. I don't want folks to look at me and say, he's a preacher. He's a Christian. She's a Christian. And there's a little old swivel up apple on this side and a little old swivel up apple. You better not get my apple. Don't worry. They won't. they married to that kind of person. That's the way their boss is. That's the way their kids are. But can you imagine in that world of supernatural, when people are around this kind of an individual and it's just hanging all over them? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith and temperance. The branches are just weighted down with them. And them poor sinners just reach up every now and then and say, could I have one? You sure can. Here, take you a bushel. Oh, have you got enough? I'm tied into an untapped resource. Go ahead and pull all you want. Pull them off and I'll grow some more back. Praise be to God. Oh, you've got a little bit of love to spare? No, I ain't got a little bit. I got a lot. You got a little bit of goodness? No, I ain't got no little bit of goodness. I got a lot of goodness. Brother Donnie, you talking about you? No, I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about this on the inside of me. Donnie ain't got much goodness. Donnie ain't got much faith. Donnie ain't got much love. But that real person on the inside has an absolute unlimited amount of it. Watch this in Ephesians 5:10. Paul says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. My, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, did Brother Branham teach that message folks don't need the fruit of the Spirit? Some of you said no. Some of you ain't sure. Now listen carefully. Souls in prison. Let me give you the fruit of the Spirit between Jesus and the Pharisees. See which one had the fruit of the Spirit. What if I stood and I started to say a while ago against Christ now for a minute, God forgive me for saying it, just to show you something. What if I come to you and say, you congregation, who is your friend? Who shows you the fruit of the Spirit? Your kind old priest. Now be careful now. Who comes to you in the hospital when you're sick? Your gentle old priest. That's right. Who is it that always loans you some money when you're up against it in a tight place? You members of his congregation. Don't you go to your kind old priest and he loans you money? Who is it always loving and kind and showing the fruit of the Spirit? Your kind old priest. But now remember, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given when this is going on, when Jesus and the Pharisees were there. So this Pharisee did not have the genuine fruit of the Spirit. Totally impossible. Because the Spirit hadn't been given. So a devil could have more fruit, genuine fruit of the Spirit, than the author of the fruit of the Spirit? So I'll get more fruit of the Spirit if I'm a devil than I would if I'm a child of God? Now you gotta be careful. These principles are gonna make the word lie. Praise the Lord. Boy, y'all are getting big-eyed and big-eyed. Woo! I hope you took your blood pressure medicine before you come to church, because you're gonna need it if you didn't. Now watch. Watch what Brother Branham is showing. He's not giving the genuine meaning, the biblical meaning of fruit of the Spirit. He's giving the perceived meaning of the fruit of the Spirit. Loaning people money as a kind old priest is not the fruit of the Spirit. Going to the hospital to visit the sick is not the fruit of the Spirit. Believe me, I go to the hospital a lot. And I run into all kinds of folks that are going to visit the sick that ain't got the Spirit. They may be full of spirits, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Some of them just set the bottle down because it's still on them, or they still got the smell on them, you know. So you can tell they're under the influence. All right, so being kind to people alone is not the fruit of the Spirit. But what is Brother Branham projecting? He is projecting the way the people would have looked at it and the way they would have perceived it. And then, of course, some message people say, well, see right there, the Pharisees had fruit of the Spirit. We don't need no love. That's an old copperhead trying to make excuse for not being gentle. Praise the Lord. Notice What is this? Who is this that studied for years and years in the synagogue down here? Where his great, 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 great grandfather come from all the way down? Who studied, worked hard, got doctor's degrees and PhDs, LLDs to know the word, sent there and delivered to every Sunday morning his congregation? Your kind old priest. But now remember, getting an LLD and a double LD and all that sort of thing, that's not the fruit of the Spirit anyway. Paul says, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Where's the Bachelor of Art at? But it's the way people perceived it. This man gave all of his life. He's done this, he's done that. Oh, he's got to be genuine. That's not the fruit of the Spirit.
He buys the widow food. The government does that.
We're fastly becoming a welfare nation. Well, don't get quiet on me now. Now watch the way he sets this forth. Who is this renegade called Jesus? What school did he come from? What school is he out of? Where's his fellowship card? What organization does he belong to? What does he do when he have a family argument? Who comes to you? You kind old priest. You have an argument against this neighbor over here and your kind old priest comes and makes you up. You're all children of God. You shouldn't do that. What's this Jesus of Nazareth do? Tears things up. What does he do? Lambast your organization. Whew. Called your priest a blind leader of the blind. Called him a snake in the grass. Oh my Lord. He took that sacrifice that God ordained and kicked the tables over and threw the money out and looked upon them with anger. Did you ever see your priest look like that? Of course not. That's part of his uniform. It don't mean he didn't look like that. It just means you never saw him look like that. Now where's the fruit of the Spirit? Not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing in the Spirit, not by joining church, not by fruit of the Spirit. Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that and deny even Jesus Christ was divine. But it's the word living. Mama. And a man that's got the Spirit of God in him or a woman lives that word. Lives right out in them. That's the heartbeat. Oh, I love this quote. That's the heartbeat. The predestinated. For the word of the Lord comes to them and they are the word to the people. Written epistles read of all men. But I remember Jesus was the one who gave us this all, Matthew 7:17. So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So these scribes, being evil, could not have brought forth genuine fruit of the Spirit. They was bringing forth an impersonation. Did it convince their people? It did. Because they were unconverted themselves. Matthew 7:18, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a Pharisee or a scribe or a Caiaphas bring forth good fruit. Now remember, Brother Branham cannot break this principle of God. So these scribes are not bringing forth real, genuine fruit of the Spirit. Totally impossible. They didn't have the Spirit. You understand? In order to bring forth fruit of the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit. Now you can see where people grab these quotes and just run out on a tangent with it. Listen to this. What has this Jesus of Nazareth done? Kicked over the tables, took some leather and plaited together, beat them priests out of there and called your kind old priest a snake in the grass, a hypocrite. Now you call that fruit of the Spirit? Certainly not. Then where is the fruit of the Spirit landing up at? No more than you think of compassion, him going to the multitude. Notice what he's saying now. You think. You think. You think. multitudes laying blind, crippled, afflicted, withered, halt, lame, and never healed any of them. Full of compassion. People with a carnal mind will never know it. Seminaries don't teach it. It's a revelation, certainly. Further, spirit drops off there, doesn't it? Them priests had 10 times the fruit of the Spirit. So you mean you can be a devil and have 10 times more of the fruit of the Holy Ghost than the Holy Ghost himself has? Which is what this was in Jesus? Well. John 2:14. Found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Whew. Now Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Remember, Jesus is not expressing human anger. He ain't having a temper fit the way you do at home. He plaited this cord of whips, which was a symbol of authority. He's not plaiting this whip so that he can beat and thrash and whip on people in the flesh. It is a symbol of authority. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now this is Psalm 69:9. The zeal of thine house. Zeal is an intense ardor in reference to any object. So the zeal of God's house, it was like a burning passion to the Lord Jesus. Right? It has eaten me up, hath absorbed me, or engaged my entire attention. And yet not another apostle did this. Just the Lord Jesus. So if this is the pattern, I better drag out the whips. And I won't let y'all not know what night I'm going to use them. It'll be another Dollywood weekend if I do. This scripture was allotted to the Lord Jesus. It was not allocated to Paul. You don't find Peter planting whips, going through the temple. You don't find Paul doing it. You don't find Timothy doing Philemon, none of the rest of the brothers. Right? But yet it's amazing that people will try to focus on this and totally wipe out the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit. It's so pitiful. It is so pitiful. You can see why Satan don't want it in our lives. So then he'll try to take these quotes and smother over the top of these precious scriptures as if though they have no value. Remember, it is a devil that causes people to do that. Notice this. Again, he says, separation has separated Isaiah from the church world, separated Moses from the church world, separated all the great prophets of the ages from the church world, separated Jesus from his brethren, separated the apostles from the church at that day. The Pharisees, Sadducees, great men, holy man, good man, fine man, humble man, man that had the fruit of the Spirit more so than what Jesus exercised. Wow. This has been one of my favorite things written in the message. Because I had quite a run-in with a man many, many, many years ago when I first came with the message. Because he ran across these quotes and he just kept telling me, you don't need love, you don't need gentleness, you don't need kindness, you don't need... I guess you need machetes and shotguns and... hand grenades and cannons and... And as we come to the top of the tree in Mount Treetop, which is where the fruit ripens first, I can see why the resurgence of this is happening. I'm convinced for most of us that have the Holy Ghost, Satan has done give up on trying to ever get your soul.
You ought to start dancing right there. However, he determines that he finally knows the soul is God's. But he will focus on productivity in your life, and then he'll focus and shift over on the spirit and shift over onto the body. Can you imagine? You're so sealed so far back in God that the devil has done to give up on your soul. Oh, Lord have mercy. Thanks be to God, children. That ought to make you some of the happiest people in the world. To realize, what does he spend most of his time battling you with? Is he really aiming at your soul? Is he really, or is it not your flesh and your spirit, your imagination, your feelings, your body, your health? That ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Don't you ought to know? You ought to look at it and say, praise be to God. He must realize, that sorry thing must realize, I've done stepped across the line. Amen. I've done come to the point of no return. My soul is sealed. My soul is God's. And he's fighting the spirit and he's fighting the flesh. David! So your soul is so hid in God that he don't even try to fool with you no more. Excuse me what I taught him. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. But what he'll try to do is slow down your productivity. If you can't get the soul, affect the atmosphere around you and slow down your fruit. Slow down your Christian producing life, because he knows that makes you so miserable that you look at yourself and say, oh God, please help me. God, I need more of this. I need more of that. Then you kick in the robot. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. And you're going the very opposite direction of what you should do. Notice this. Brother Bram says you can't judge by speaking in tongues. Neither can you judge by fruit of the Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Word of God brought to light. It's the light that does it. The man that walks in the light. Jesus Christ was not founding upon speaking in tongues, though he did it. He was not fruit of the Spirit, though he did. You couldn't judge it. He believed and punctuated it. God lived every word of the promise of that day through him. That's what I want. That's what I want for Happy Valley Church. That God takes every promise of the message of this day that pertains to us. Some of it pertains to Israel. Some of it pertains to Brother Branham. Some may pertain to this, that. I want what pertains to me. I want to live that promise and punctuate that promise by my life, not just these lips saying amen. 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 Praise God. God lived every word of the promise of that day through him. That's the light of the hour. Don't you understand what the light of this hour is? The light of this hour now is God taking the promise of 2013 and manifesting it through the people of God on the earth. That's the light of this age. Praise God. Let's close with this. Paradox, he says, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Is that right? Congregation says, amen. Fruit of the Spirit. Many people rely on that. Sometimes that's the devil. Now watch. You can't stop right there. You've got to read the next line. He can impersonate that to the letter. Does that mean it's the fruit of the Spirit? Totally impossible for it to be fruit of the Spirit in a devil. They can have the impersonation of it. Praise the Lord. When I was in China, I saw all kinds of Rolex watches. Ying Chong Chong and Wing Wong Wing and a lot of where's them Wong Wo Wings are out, you know, all along the street trying to sell. American. You can find them in Mexico, you know, lots of different places. It ain't no problem to print Rolex on the watch. But all you gotta do is look on the inside and you're like, oh, Rolexio. Oh no, not Rolexio. The bandito took my money. Where'd he go? Did he get more tacos?
crazy Mexican? Really? Was it the crazy Mexican or the crazy Americano? Why? Because you want something for nothing. You want a great big $5 something. That's the way folks are with their Christian. They want a great deep spiritual walk with God as long as it don't cost them nothing. And Satan can impersonate love, but will he ever have the real love of God? Never. He can impersonate joy. Will he ever really have this joy? Never.
Mama, let me close. So they said, well, fruit of the Spirit. That's what it is. Oh no, fruit of the Spirit. Christian Science has that. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. They have more love than anybody. And deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Which tells you what kind of love they have. It can't be the real love of God or they couldn't deny Jesus Christ. So what do they have? It's what people think is the fruit of the Spirit. Mama, I want the real, don't you? What about it, brothers? Your brothers want to be a fruitful man? A godly man? Sisters? Young people? Let's stand. Let's skip down, Brother Eric, one or two quotes there to when their eyes were open, paragraph 121. Then Pharisees and some of them said, well, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Pharisees had more fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the key. This is what I look for when I study and build a sermon. I look for keys that tie these things together. This is a key to this subject. The Pharisees had more fruit of the Spirit, what we call fruit of the Spirit, than we could ever produce. But if a devil can have more fruit of the genuine Holy Ghost than I can have as a son of God, I'd be better off to go back being a devil. But it's what people call. I'm a kind of pastor. If I see sin, I cry out against it. People say I ain't got no love. You know why they say that? They don't understand love. To them, this is love turns a blind eye. You don't say nothing. You just this person donates big on the church and this one does this and this and this. So that's love. That's not love. That's what folks call love. Real love is corrective love. And it's not out of anger, human anger. It's from God's heart. Amen. You love him. Do we want genuine fruit of the Spirit? Genuine fruit of the Spirit. If we are in Mount Treetop and the fruit is ripening at the top of the tree and God sees no fruit on some message, folks, where does that put them? Fruitless. Fruitless. We don't want to just be a bride tree. Don't stop at that sermon in 62. Keep going through 65. And when the fruit ripens in the top of the tree, I don't want just bark. I don't want just limbs. I want fruit. Fruit. You and I have been given the privilege to bring forth something that's totally impossible for the majority of the world to bring forth. There'll only ever be a tithing of the earth that'll be able to live this. I consider myself blessed by Jehovah. Not only to hear it, but have a desire to live it.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Oh, Lord. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? You want this out of your life? God living this out of you, not like a machine or a robot. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help each of us. As we lifted up our hands, Father, it signified a need, a request, a desire in us. Many times, Lord, when we hear things like this and we see ourselves in a mirror and we compare the image of the Word and then we look and see what we are, it can be discouraging. It can be disheartening. But I pray that you'd help them tonight not to leave with that attitude.
maybe they see this image of what the Word declares, and they pick up the mirror and they look in the mirror and they see themselves, and they see what they want to be, and they see what the Word says they should be, but then they see what they see, which is not always right anyway. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father, to realize you don't want us to kick in overtime and start doing more works of the flesh, struggling harder and harder within the mechanism of the body and the spirit to produce these things. But you want us to let go. Let go of our temperament. Let go of our birth paths, the sign we were born under, the star. That affects us. We can't help that, Lord. But a new life comes within us. As Brother Branham told us, God is calling for every seed of Abraham to separate himself from see, taste, feel, smell, hear, imagination, conscience, memory, reason. What a powerful statement. So you're calling from every seed of Abraham to separate their soul from their body and their spirit. It's amazing. The last thing before the separation will be the separation of ourself from ourself. We'll be separate while we yet live in it. It's a phenomenon that only you could do. Our soul will be so separate that if our body says do this and our spirit that, contrary to the nature of the soul says I refuse to do it. And yet, the soul can only be expressed here in time when it lives in this body through the outlets of the human spirit. What a paradox you're calling for. Help us, Lord Jesus. Then we say to you tonight, we are unable and capable of doing this. So we go back to the throne room of our hearts and we petition the King who has made our bodies his tabernacle. And we ask you, great King, with the preaching of the word, not only comes more understanding and enlightenment, but we believe with it releases a power, an exousia, a power that helps us to attain to it. We know the scripture tells us that you came to your own and your own received you not. And I love the way John goes on to say this, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So it's not just doctrine, it's not just theory, but there is a power that is released to help us to become. For after all, that's what it's all about anyway, is becoming. Abraham spent years of his life waiting to become a father. Hallelujah. Help us to become this, Lord God. When the Holy Ghost moved over my soul, I needed exousia, power to become a son of God. Doctrine, water baptism, those things were important, but I must have power to become. Lord Jesus, you send your word to tell us where we're wrong, to help us to see where we're wrong, but then we need power. I need your power, Lord Jesus, to help me be more fruitful. I don't want it to be more machinery, more clacking of the wheels and the running of this and the lubrication of that and the anatomy running it together and trying to figure it out. No, Lord, power. Anoint me, Lord, to love more. Anoint me, Lord God, to be more like you. Lord Jesus, as we stand in Mount Treetop, for the attraction has changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Glory to God. So the bride tree is coming to her fruition, to where the fruit is ripening in the top. Help us, Lord Jesus. Meekness does not mean weakness. It does not mean, Lord, that we're kicked around and pushed around. It means we stand for what's right, but we do it with the right attitude. Help us, I pray, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Would you just raise your branches up in the presence of God?
Praise God. Won't you just ask Him, make me fruitful, Lord. Make me fruitful. Give me fruit of love, Lord. How many people do I run into every day? How many of these people run into every day that's starving to death for real love? That don't mean we'll make them bride. But if they can just know there's some real love left in the world. Some real Christianity. Some real meekness. Real gentleness. In this crazy, crazy world we live, there's still some goodness that's left. That which is produced by the Spirit of God. May that fruit hang from us in great ripe clusters, Lord. Lord, if you have to put us through the wintertime to make our peaches, as it were, have the right sweetness. Lord, whatever that it takes, if it takes hard times and difficult times, we know you're mindful of us, Lord. So I told Carol the other day, Lord, going up to Brother Paul's meeting and then going down to Brother Jason's. So I stood down in that room that night and she had done left for church. You come to me there, Lord, as I was praying, walking around. And you told me I was fixing to go through a great trial. You remember, Lord, in my heart, I didn't even have time to say it out. In my heart, I thought, is it the church? And before I could even say it, you said, it's you. Huh. So even through trials, you're mindful of us. So I got to go through trials as a preacher. We have to go through trials. Sometimes my trials are with the body. But this one wasn't the church. It was me personally. And I thank you, Lord, because I took care of the other day. I said, it's amazing. I've been going through this thing with this kidney stone all this time. Getting emails and letters and things from people. And they've been so discouraged because I ain't got healed already. And I told her, I said, what's amazing is I've had to encourage them and I've been the one sick. But I thank you, Lord. And probably that's why you spoke to me. Because you knew it was going to be long. And you knew I'd probably get discouraged. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. But if out of times like trials and tests, that our fruit will come out on the other side and be sweet. Oh, and delightful to the taste. Praise be to God. And so be it, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Keep us true, Father. Then when I complete this test, my victory will manifest itself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make me fruitful, O God. Make me fruitful, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. Let's just love Him a little before we go, children. Oh, just let the wind of the Holy Ghost move through us here tonight. Oh, my, may that blessed wind that blowed through that upper room on the day of Pentecost, may He blow through this building here tonight. May our branches and our leaves catch that wind as it comes through. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our leaves are our fellowship, you know. May the wind come through and blow us around tonight in His presence. May we have divine fellowship with deity while He's here. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to understand mysteries. We want knowledge. We want all of these things. But Lord, we also want fruit. We want fruit. Really, when it comes down to it, it won't be the center on the street that we'd be able to share much of a concept of knowledge or perception maybe of serpent seed. Maybe it's just a little bit of kindness, a little bit of something to let them know there's a God that's still alive. We can talk mysteries among those who have ability to understand. But we want to live a life, Lord, out here in the world that people can see fruit. The can know it's still real. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. I pray for your children tonight, Father. May you breathe healing on this congregation. Deliverance. Whatever the need is, Lord God. I stand between the living and the dead. Lord Jesus, to speak your words of life. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We say to our enemy, he is defeated. And we are more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We were not born to survive. We were born to overcome. We were born to be victorious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I worship you, mighty God. I bless your name, Lord Jesus, for you are worthy. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you done? Or do you want to wave them branches around a little more? In the presence of the wind. Things up. Praise be to God.
Jehovah Jireh.
Praise be to God.
My provider.
You're my provider, Lord.
You are, yes, Lord God.
More God. Than enough. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You're my healer.
My healer.
By your stripes.
Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Set free.
Praise be to God.
Jehovah.
Let's sing it together now, saints.
You are with me, and you supply all my need.
Yeah.
You are more than enough. Lord, you,
yes, you are
Lord.
Tonight from him, friends. Whatever you have need of, he's here to minister to you.
You are more than enough for me, Jehovah Rapha.
Father, we love you, Lord.
And the church said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. Appreciate you so much. Lord willing, if I don't pass this old kidney stone by Friday, I'm supposed to have the lithotripsy procedure done. I'm supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. What that means is the Lord's got all this time from now over to Friday to deliver me from it if he wants to. But if not, I'm going to go be zapped with sound waves or whatever it is that they're going to do. I'm sick of this thing. I think my deliverance is in hand. I'm ready for it. So you just be praying for me either way. I'm going to win either way. So, Lord willing, I'll see you. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. They said if I had to have that, I probably wouldn't feel up to preaching this weekend. So we'll just see. But we just trust that the Lord will help me with it. I thank you for praying for me. I told Carol that said, I've got to get better. All these people, my goodness, they got too many other things to pray about. Worry about praying over me. But I do appreciate you praying for me, and thank you for it. It really means so much to me. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we just love you so much, and we thank you for the opportunity we could come tonight, Father. Ask your blessings on your people, Lord. Watch over them as they travel back, some going back to Virginia, some different places, Lord. We just ask your protection upon them, Father. Ask that you be mindful, Lord Jesus, for the Sammy Kinzer's family and the church up in Virginia and the one down in Tennessee there, Father God, that you'd just be with the people and help them with the departure of our brother. We don't feel sorry for him, but for those that are left behind, may your grace just be with them and comfort their hearts, Father, we ask. Bring us back this weekend if it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Sing it here as you go. Go in the fear of God.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Mighty God, Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God, Jesus is. What a mighty God, Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God, my Jesus is. His people.